Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we travel together or as we sit around together, as I read you stories or as we fill in the blanks. We count things. We look at things. We remember things. And we enjoy one another's company. That's number one. That's number one. It would be interesting to know what it's all about. And the pursuit of this knowledge is gold. But there can be no expectation of interpreting experience. These feelings you are having, they are what they are. Their cause is both obvious and obscure. I am here to make imperfect predictions about a few insignificant things in a tiny corner of the universe. But the feeling of its import, to me, is enormous, indescribable, and all-encompassing. My life and the lives of those I love are the only thing. They are the universe. That is at the center of all my search for knowledge and wisdom. Please take out your crayons and turn to page 26 in the art hymnal.
Sounding good, Butch. You feel like you're ready for the ceremony?
Yeah, I guess. I hope I can keep the deflated basketball on my head.
What's that for?
Well, we use a deflated basketball because my congregation doesn't have a proper fompook. So we just toss a piece of fabric over it, put that on your head, and voila! You can do the recitation of the fompook offering.
Cool.
I'm almost ready. I'm having a little trouble with my cufflinks. You don't need cufflinks. It's not that dressy. I just grabbed the wrong shirt and it has French cuffs and I have to use these novelty dollar sign cufflinks are all I have.
They make you look rich.
They make you look like the American version of Doctor Who. Doctor How Much?
You look super sharp, though.
Thank you, Lou. Whoa, Lou. You're not wearing those to my service station midlife ceremony.
Hey, ease up. No one's gonna be looking at me, man. All eyes will be on you.
Oh, brother, don't embarrass me.
I'm cool. Nobody will notice. Shrimp jive, everyone.
Shrimp jive.
I can't believe you wore flip-flops. Hurry up and sit down. Everybody's looking at you.
I would, but someone's in my usual pew. It's thrown me.
Just sit anywhere. Lou, let's sit here. Except there. That's reserved for my grandfather.
But your grandfather's dead.
It's not literally reserved for him. We leave a space for him.
What about these?
Oh, we leave a space for all his siblings, too. He was one of 10. 10 empty seats. Actually, all three rows are reserved for dead people so that we don't forget them.
Oh, which ones?
Who knows? Lost to history. Anyway, sit in those bright orange seats. Those are for the super religious people, but they never come.
Okay.
I gotta go into the antechamber and wash my elbows. Okay.
Good luck, Shemp Jive.
Shemp Jive.
I always find these services very interesting.
I'm used to a lot of the stuff now because we've been here so much.
They do keep changing things, like what they believe in and all, which I think is actually really healthy and great.
I'm glad they keep the coloring books, though.
It's genius, really. The crayons and the interactive placemats. If my church had that, I'd still be going.
And also the little basket of cap'n wafers.
Makes the strange rituals and silly beliefs go down a little better.
Oh, it's starting.
Yeah, there's Pastor Troy.
Go directly to paradise. Do not pass hell. Do not collect 200 lashes. John Conway said, you learn about life when you play the game of life. Oh, universal constructor, maker of itself and that which obscures itself from itself, von Neumann simmed some for limiting rules, predictable and unpredictable, the will of rules. Amen. Shemp jive, everyone.
Shemp jive.
It's a very special day. And I don't just mean because Mrs. Grossperson made the pink frosted donuts today, which are my favorite. The icing mesmerizes me. I don't know if it's the color that's evocative of the womb or something. It's primal. Thank you, Doris, for the donuts, regardless of the origin. of my appreciation. No, it's also a special day because Baruch Butchie Spinoza V is celebrating his middle period, and that's a time in our tradition when we abandon the pursuit of firm answers and acknowledge the liberating futility of our quest, which we regardless continue. But freed from the assumption that we will find answers for which our soul aches, Butch. Thank you, Reverend Gass. Today is a millstone for me. Yes, you heard right. I said millstone instead of milestone. Why is that, you ask? And I don't blame you for asking. For what is blame but the quest for both the cause of things and justice? If all things indeed do have a cause, was this not set into motion at the beginning of time? And how would we interrupt this causal chain without having that action also have been caused? I am in a field.
Oh, I really feel like we're in a field.
We are in a field.
How did you do it?
Let's get to that farmhouse. Come on. Do what?
That thing where nothing causes another thing to happen. Like we were just in your church and then in a field.
Just because you can't see the cause of something doesn't mean it's not there.
Good point.
Can you walk and talk at the same time, please?
Not without panting, frankly.
That farmhouse seems to be receding as we approach it. Just move slightly in the other direction and see if it fixes it. Yeah, why is that? Sometimes, if the farmhouse sees you coming, it starts to back up. But if it sees us wandering, it'll come closer out of curiosity. And maybe we can make a run for it. Mr. Davis?
Yes?
There are three people approaching the farmhouse.
Thank you. They're from a particular group?
I'm not sure. They came through the farm pook door. One of them is wearing a farm pook.
Ah. The others must be kinsmen. They're close?
No. But they have figured out the secret of the shy farmhouse and are luring it closer. Worrisome?
Not at all. No. Just makes me curious, if anything. Are we going to have lunch?
I imagine at some point.
Ugh, but no plans.
Not that I know of.
I'm starving. Does lunch really catch everyone off guard every day? There seems to be no plan from day to day, and yet every day we end up eating a midday meal.
I'm sure there are lunch plans. I'm just not privy.
I'm sorry. I'm hungry, Grouchy. So, kill them?
Be quiet, everybody. Bayrock's coming on.
It's Bayrock.
Oh, Bayrock. Oh, great. Look, if you think you can waltz in here and look at police files every time you have a case, you are sadly mistaken.
Do you mean sadly mistaken or sorely mistaken?
Let me rephrase that. I'm sore, and you're gonna be sore too if you don't scram.
I really need to see those files, Lieutenant.
I'm sure you do, because I guess we came to the wrong conclusion, and in your wisdom, you have evidence to solve the case correctly.
That's exactly right.
Bayrock, you have exactly 2 seconds to get out of here before I arrest you for interfering with police business.
I'm only trying to do my job.
Yeah, well, your job stinks. Listen, I will say this. You were right about one thing. You said we'd get a missing persons report for 3 individuals, and we did. So part of me thinks you really are a detective, but the other part of me thinks that you're in on it.
Let's just say I'm good at predicting.
I predict you'll leave right now or leave in 60 seconds in cuffs.
I'm going. No need to be so angry.
Okay, just keep walking and don't look at the farmhouse. But when I say go, make a run for the farmhouse door. Ready?
No.
Go!
Oh, man.
Faster, Lou. Come on.
Oh my God.
We made it.
Wow, it's a farmhouse. What did you expect? Something a little more surreal, I guess. I'm not sure where we are.
We are at the center of the grid.
What's that mean?
Like a graph with four quadrants.
Yeah?
Well, normally, we're in just one. But now, we're at the center, so we can see the negative numbers.
Negative numbers?
It's hard to explain.
Even if it wasn't, my understanding is the weak link. I'll just go along with it.
So you know where we are, then?
Yeah, I thought I'd be here alone, but you guys must factor into my centering.
Your what?
Don't worry about it. Just don't touch anything.
But I see someone left the non-dairy creamer, and I think I'd like to give it a try.
Touch nothing. Butchie, who is that?
Three guys.
They look like us. Oh, no, that's not us. That's the negative three of us. Don't go near them.
Who are they, Butch?
Well, it's us. It's the absence of us. Well, it's the necessary existence of us. They exist because they must necessarily exist as an indication of potential. But they have no substance in this world. All they can do here is cancel us out.
Well, we don't want that. Cancel is not a good thing.
What do we do, Butch?
You did say cancel and not counsel, right? Because I could use some counseling.
They will cause us to cease to exist.
Yeah, that's cancel. Counsel would be more like advice than complete annihilation.
What's that red dragon on the wall, Butch? I just noticed that.
It looks Welsh.
Butchie, whose house is this?
You know.
It's the Welshman at the center of all things, isn't it?
Correct.
Differentiation is caused by rules that define the parameters of growth, much like Waddington's epigenetic landscape. But those rules, in fact, represent unseen physical limitations, grooves, holes, vacancies, gaps that constrain growth and define the thing, just like water going down a mountainside and finding the lowest and shortest paths that are carved in the hillside. Just like Waddington's epigenetic landscape. We are ourselves because there are unseen riverbanks that make us into who we are.
That's a heck of an ending.
Oh, I'm glad you like the bedtime story, nephew.
So, the negative three friends were necessary for Butchie and Lou and you to exist.
Yes. The negative group aren't opposites or the absence of our friends. They are the future or past state of a thing.
I don't get math.
I don't really either.
I use it to count things, so I know whether I'm being cheated or not. But I don't use it to calculate trajectory.
No, I don't either, really.
You can have that done. There's people like NASA who can do it for you.
Yeah. My taxes, my laundry, and my hair. Three things I do myself, but probably shouldn't.
That story was complicated.
I thought maybe it would make you tired and put you to sleep.
I wonder if children's writers write their books thinking, I hope this puts the reader to sleep within seconds.
Well.
You're going to go drink whiskey and watch Barry.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'll just read.
What are you going to read?
Well, whatever your mom and dad have in the guest room bookshelf.
James Michener's Hawaii and a 1976 copy of Tiger Beat.
You're kidding.
No, here it is.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Look at that. Living with Leaf. Would it be easy?
That means Leaf Garrett.
No, I figured that. I didn't think it meant just living with a leaf.
That'd be easy.
It would. Maybe it'd be fun. The right way to kiss a Bay City roller. Oh, my goodness.
I don't want to know.
Is your love for Tony physical? See page 60. Yeah. Linda Blair and Cher. How they're different. Oh, I think I knew that, but it's still good to have the magazine to tell you.
What else is in it?
Oh, look at this gossip from 1976. They've got pictures of celebrities next to one another. I guess they're couples or something. Bill Hudson and Goldie Hawn. I didn't know about that. Sounds familiar, though. Richard Thomas and Sally Struthers. I don't know if I knew that. Chad Everett and Karen Carpenter. That doesn't sound super... Elton John and Alice Cooper. Now, I don't think this is a couple's. Freddie Prinze and Lee Majors. I don't remember them dating in 1970. I think that's just a weird layout.
Yeah. What else they got?
Star of the Month.
Who is it?
Keith Munch.
Not familiar.
No, I'm not familiar either. Last, we introduced you to the group Munch last summer.
I don't remember that.
I don't either. Munch is a great group of guys. I don't know.
Is that like Pharaoh Munch?
I don't think that's the same one.
All right.
All right, well, I'll go check this out. I'm going to go into the... You know what? I'll probably just leave this here. That's a good picture of the Hudson Brothers. It sure is. There's lots of... I don't really think of them as sex symbols, but here you go. Oh, and there's a young Henry Winkler. And there's something on his lip, too. I think that's a mustache. Well, that's very interesting, nephew, but you know, I'm just going to go in the room. I might just talk to my friends. Your imaginary friends? They are not imaginary. They are not imaginary. They're a radio listening audience. No, they're not. They might be. I don't know. You're not talking to anybody. I am talking to a potential. I am talking to what could be people. I'm talking to a negative audience. They're going to be a positive audience, and then we can draw a little graph to see, well, they weren't there, and now they're there. So I'm going to talk to them as if they were there. If I waited for them to get there, some verification of their presence, I would never open my mouth. Oh, my goodness, if I had to have evidence of the things that I said having any effect or doing any good, being constructive, I would never open my mouth because there isn't very much evidence at all. I can only guess what my words will do. I send them out into the world like they're little children that I don't really care about. Maybe I'm a cockroach or something that has a lot of children. Maybe I'm a mama spider, and I have so many babies I can't really nurture them. All I can do is send them out into the world. I have chosen quantity over quality as far as offspring, and that way some of them will definitely survive. There they go, my ideas, my words, out into the world, walking around like that. A little word, look, it's just there. Nobody's going to even notice there. Is it? Which there is it? Right? There's a lot of homonyms. Look at butt. Look at butt walking around. That's one T butt. But still, two T butts gets more attention. But he's walking around too. You don't even notice him. Standing there at the bus stop, little butt. But people think, I get there's a butt when people say something. Yeah, because he's there. He's standing behind every phrase saying, you know, there could be another possibility. There could be something else. There could be another world. There could be another way of doing that. How do I know? Because I look behind you and I see a little butt. And he's there, and he's reminding us of his presence. Oh, my friends, oh, we all are parents of our words, aren't we? And we all have plenty of, a lot of them say, you have enough room in the house. Why are you kicking us out? Because I want to turn your room into a study. And they say, our room is a dormitory. It's as large as a gymnasium. It's as large as an airplane hangar. Why do you need a study that large? Did I say study? I meant I am recreating the Library of Alexandria, and I will need your bedroom. And so you're going to have to take your things with you to college. Are you even going to college? I highly encourage you to go to college if you are a word and you're not already in a sentence. So I'm looking to hook up with a sentence. But you're going to need that. You're going to need to college to know that. And a lot of words that I know have gone to college, hooked up with a sentence. Well, what they thought was a sentence turned out to be a participle or something. A word I know was in a sentence, didn't think he was because it ended with a semicolon. I say, yeah, you're a sentence. Just because something else comes, an independent clause comes after you, doesn't mean that you're not a sentence, little word. Are you a little word today? What word are you? I don't know, Hardy. You don't have to pick one. You can be all words. It could be a foreign word. What's a fun foreign word? I don't know. Fünf, I guess, is fun. Five in German. But today we're talking about the number 3 and the number -3. If I was Sesame Street, I would do negative integers. I would do imaginary numbers. I don't think it's too early ever to teach a child about non-Euclidean geometry or something, or elements of philosophy, things like that. Why wait to confuse and disorient children? Why not do it right away? I like that. Welcome to the mystery, child. What is the answers to all things? I could pretend that I know as the teacher. And I could tell you things that I purport to be fact, especially history, which I'm completely making up. But I don't know. And so you're going to have to look for yourself. Will I ever find the answers you ask as a little student? Well, there's two ways to find answers. One is to look in the back of the book, the teacher's edition. It's going to have some answers, but they're not going to satisfy you. Only the answers that you go out and look for are you going to be happy with. Will you find them? No. How can I be happy merely with the search for something? Oh, the potential for a thing is as good as the thing sometimes, isn't it? You will never be able to live every single life that you wish you could. Some because of the constraints of time. Now, unless you have a time machine, say, I would love to be a Prussian general. That's not going to happen. And you say, oh, well, maybe some more realistic. I'd like to be a musician in a band or something. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen because I went on this long career in psychiatry and now, you don't get a do-over, do you? Second life. No, not really. So then what do I do, Hardy? How can I do these things? Well, the potential for them exists. Oh, you are a musician, you, in some universe. And so why don't you take all those universes and squish them together? I refuse to be just the one thing. I want to be my invisible selves in life, too. I would like to be the musician, Hardy. I would like to be the actor, Hardy. I would like to be the hero, Hardy. I would like to be a guy who rides horses and carries bread to people. Hardy. All those things. I like to be the deep sea diver, Hardy. I like to be the mountain climber, Hardy. Some of those things I can do. Some of those things I'll never be able to do. I'll be like a doctor. Can't be a doctor. Even if I started now at doctor school, I could not be a doctor. Couple reasons. One, intelligence. Don't have it. Two, they don't gonna take me in doctor school because I'm too old. There's two things you can't do after a certain age. One is go to medical school, and the other is write for TV sitcoms. They just won't take you. And so let me tell you something. You can still be those things.
Say, oh, in my imagination.
Look, let me tell you something about the difference between your imagination and the real world. All right? It is just really resolution. And the resolution isn't that good in the real world. Your eyes don't do a very good job. Some of us, our eyes don't do anything. We're not sighted. But those of us, even who are so-called perfect vision, aren't really seeing the world. Your brain has to fill in so much because your eyes are not as efficient as you think. Oh, they're giving me a continuous picture of the outside world. No, they're not. Your brain is actually lying and filling things in. You're getting little snapshots. It's tiling constantly. You're not seeing everything even. You're seeing one little narrow band of light in an enormous electromagnetic spectrum. You're not seeing those things. You can't see. You can't hear. And you can't fathom, really. So why wouldn't the other things just be at least equal, if not as real? Oh, my heart, I'm gonna let it be free of any constraint. I'm not gonna say, oh, look at my little narrow life. I'm gonna say I may be a stream going down a narrow crevice in a mountain, but look, I'm on a mountainside. I'm part of the mountain. Everything on the mountain is part of my family. I'm the stream, and you might be the snowy mountaintop crest cap thing. Makes me want a chocolate. Those little, they're called snow caps, and I said snow cap, and my brain went, you need a nonpareil. What? A nonpareil. What's that? It's a snow cap. I know, now that's the tautology. Could you give me some more information?
The whole world's a tautology.
What do you mean?
If I start to define it.
Yes.
You say, what's existence?
Yes.
And I give you a definition.
Yes.
The definition is the thing.
Okay.
So I haven't really said anything.
All right.
Follow me?
I don't follow you. And here's the reason. I can't see you. I can't follow what I can't see. I didn't know you were leading. I didn't know I was supposed to follow you. I thought we were supposed to walk in opposite directions, go all the way around the world, and then meet each other, thus proving that we are on a globe, or at least that we were on a donut. We could be on a donut. Which part of the donut are you on?
I'm on the inside.
It's full of cream. Do all donuts have holes? I didn't say a torus. I said a donut, so it could have been one of those cream-filled ones. I know that's not proper. It doesn't have a hole in it now. Now it does. You stuck your finger in it. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I'm rascally that way. Oh, my goodness. I don't mean to assault your sensibilities. I just want you to be able to hear the story today. I thought, and I figured you'd be asleep by now. Something's keeping you awake. Is there something on your mind? Oh, I just can't stop my brain at night, Hardy. Oh, you don't want to do that. Don't stop your brain. I wish my brain would stop. No, you don't. No, don't stop the brain. That's deader than dead. I could say you stop your heart. I wish I could stop my heart. And at least you think for a few minutes after that. But don't stop the brain. My goodness. Let it roll. Let it go. But it's torturing me. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I get out of its way, I guess. Just watch it or something. That's what I do sometimes. I just watch my brain. I say, you're crazy, brain. And I'll lay there. And how do you combat it? What do you do, Hardy? How do you calm your heart? What do you do? I'm struggling. Oh, I know. The other day I watched Cannon with William Conrad, though. And I mentioned this. And it did calm me down. It was nice. It calmed me down. I also ate like a whole box of graham crackers. I was a little depressed. And then I wanted to be regretful about the graham crackers. But I wouldn't. I wasn't. Instead, I was like, I'm so lucky to have these graham crackers. What if I was craving graham crackers and they were far away or I didn't have a car or money or anything? Bless this world. Bless this great blessing of graham crackers. As sick as I am and as much graham cracker created wood glue that I now have up in my gums from the chewed up graham crackers made itself into a paste that's now lined my gums like football tooth protectors. That's icky a little bit. But I'm watching this Cannon and I'm watching him run around and everything, bless his heart, and solve a mystery and obtain justice for somebody who's been wrongly accused. And I love that. I love being able to watch those old detective shows because usually what happens, there's an injustice. You go, no, they're fooling Rockford. Well, they're setting him up. Rockford didn't do that. He's trying to help. He's a good man. And you, oh, and by the end, the baddies get their comeuppance and there's justice. It's not always satisfying because it's like Dennis is still doesn't think highly of Rockford or whatever, what have you. But, not Dennis, Lieutenant Deal, maybe. But it doesn't matter, right? Because you get that sense of justice. Oh, the right thing has happened. Hardy, I'd like to spend my day with you today. Thank you. I'm glad we only have an hour. I think if you spent the day, it might be upsetting for you. Say, oh, I don't know. I thought I wanted to be around Hardy that much. Perhaps I don't. I think anything, too much of anything, like those graham crackers or Cannon or whatever. I just watched the pilot. I think if I'd watched more, I'm not. You say, oh, are you crying? No, I was choking. Oh, leave that man alone. He's crying. I'm not. I'm choking. Don't leave the man alone. Is there a Heimlich maneuver for crying? You see someone crying, they say, I think they're choking on their sadness, more or less. Is there some way I can come up behind them and put my hand under their rib cage metaphorically and make them and contract that diaphragm, causing air to build up? Like you're squeezing a bellows, and poof, and that chunk of chewed up food or that wad of chewed up graham cracker that is making you choke, making you sad, is going to come flying out of your mouth across the restaurant of existence and stick on that wall. What's that wall made of? Oh, dreams, I guess. And what's hanging on the wall? Signed menus of all the famous people who have been here. Who cares? I don't even know who all the names are. All over the walls of possibilities, there are names of people who have been here, who have eaten here. And we want their signature because we think they're special, but they're no more special than the others who have eaten here. I'm telling you, oh, anybody who has gone through life, whether you've lived a minute or 120 years, bless you.
Bless you for being on this earth. Bless you for surviving your birth. Bless you for taking a breath every day. Bless you for enduring. Bless you for feeling. Bless you for feeling in this world. Oh, I know how it is every life. I don't care if you're George Washington or Mark Kapognik or Lisa Hoovre or Jamanda Angadaz. It doesn't matter. Bless you all. Love you all. Precious all of you who have gone through this life. I'm not going to pretend it's easy. So, oh, it's easy for Croesus. Croesus had a bad end. Oh, it is rough for all of us. Sometimes you say, oh, that person's got gold all over them. They're sitting on gold. They're wearing gold. They don't have a trouble in the world. Bless their heart. They still have kidneys. They still have a stomach. And they still have bowels. All who have bowels are doomed. All who have bowels must suffer. If you have intestines in your gut, you are a creature. And if you are a creature, you are full of excrement. And you eat. And things rot inside of you, and the gases and the fluids circulate, and you are a big wad of cells that will someday soon break down and ooze back into the wonderful earth, this messy, beautiful burgoo that we exist in. I'm living in a universe that's like a burgoo, and I'm riding on a corn kernel just like it was a duck boat. A duck boat corn kernel in the burgoo of the universe. How did it all get here? I think there was some sort of defining rules. I think it was poured into a mold. Water has no shape until you pour it into an ice tray with ice cubes the shape of SpongeBob and friends. And then when you pop them out when they're frozen, that's the shape they'll be in, but it's just water. It's just water. And you can't even see the things that define it anymore. See, where are the parameters? How did this get into a SpongeBob shape? Miracle? Or was it just poured into something that constrained the possibilities? And isn't that what the physical world is? All these things you see are just constrained possibilities. Otherwise, they would inhabit everything. Otherwise, we would have one thing, one substance. This is at the heart of mysticism. In some religions, there was one thing, and it divided itself and hid itself from itself, simsum, created gaps. So there are those that think that we're all one thing, one consciousness, that got lonely and separated itself from itself so it would think that there were others around it. But why create enemies? I don't know. Maybe things got out of hand. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just telling you other people's fairy tales because I don't have my own. I've come up with some. I try to go out in the world and make observations. Just like the parable of the unsighted who go up to the elephant and a different... One of them is on different parts of the elephant, and they're trying to define the elephant, and one of them says it's flat like a pancake because he's on the ear. And the other one says, no, it's thin like a rope, an elephant is, because he's on the tail. Another one says, no, the elephant is this horrible, warm, wet smell. No, get away. It's not that either. It's not that either. It's all those things. But nobody's able to see it all. No one's able to see it all, so all we can do is describe our little area of the elephant. That's all I can do, friend. I know my little area of the elephant, and I'd be happy to tell you how it feels. This is how my area of the elephant feels. Sometimes it feels like joy. Sometimes I feel like I'm flying. Sometimes I feel like I am bathing in a warm bath of the love of others. Sometimes I feel like I am suffering. Sometimes I feel like I am cold on the side of a mountain alone. I feel like the icy wind is piercing me like knives. Sometimes I'm so lonely or in such physical or mental pain. That's what it is. That's my elephant. And that's probably close to your elephant, too. Your elephant might be a slightly different shape, but you know what we should all do? Let's smell it, because I bet even it all smells similar. You say, well, if you're on one end, listen. It's an elephant. I'm sure it's not, you know, the hip
is not going to smell that different from the butt. All right? Because he's not going home at night and lathering up with lava or Lifebuoy or one of them. I'm not going to sit here and name soaps. That's not what I do. Name different types of bar soap, Irish Spring or whatever. That's not me. I might name some different types of products. Maybe not soap, though. Probably not soap, even though we need it. Why do we need it? Well, we need it because sometimes stuff gets on us. And that is unavoidable. You're going to get your hands dirty. You're going to go out into life and things are going to happen to you. You're going to get mud on you. You're going to get... People are going to motivate you to stick your hands in some sort of soot. And then you say, I can't abide this because now if I pick up a piece of fruit, I have sooty fruit. I have sooty fruit. If I pick... Okay, my hands are sooty. Sooty. I should have said muddy. Now I'm picking up fruit. But I don't want sooty fruit. Can't say it, my friends. I can't get it out. Sooty fruit. I want to. But so I'm going to wash my hands. That's where the soap comes in. And I wash my hands. And now my hands are clean for fruit. And I can say it. That's all it is. It's things are going to happen. You clean up a little. You get dirty again. Oh, my goodness. It just keeps happening. Change is constant. Would you like to, can I get you anything? Because I know you've been here a few minutes ago. Oh, Hardy, I love visiting with you. But you start talking and you don't really leave a space for me to go, what, could you tell me where the bathroom is? I could very well tell you where the bathroom is. But you signal or something. A lot of people, when I'm talking, will give me, if they need to signal me, like they need to ask something, like, where's the bathroom? They'll just do this hand signal where they stick out their hand and slap it over my mouth. And then I'll know that means stop talking for a minute. Someone else has to say something. They'll go, I need the restroom. And I go, oh, it's right over there. And I'm going to keep talking, but you're not going to miss anything. That's the way I feel with the radio. I'm going to keep talking. Will you miss something? Yes. Will it come around again? My radio show is like a luggage carousel. A luggage carousel. Not like a regular carousel. It'd be like a regular carousel if occasionally when the zebra came around, somebody grabbed it because they needed it. This is the luggage carousel. When you see the suitcase that you need come around, it's going to be yours and you take it. There's one for everybody. Don't worry about it. How do I know it's mine? You'll know it's yours. You'll recognize it. You'll feel something. When I say something that speaks to your heart, you'll say, Hardy, you're talking directly to me. That must be my blue Samsonite. Your blue Samsonite, friend. Come, you want to look in it, make sure it's yours? No, it's got the tag on it that says, pretty, pretty. Why does it say pretty, pretty? I don't know. It must be, is it a company or something? But that's how I know it's mine. That's how I know it's mine, and you'll know it's yours. You'll recognize it. When I say something that you need to hear, you'll know right away. You take that, and then somebody else will take theirs. Now, when I was a child, you'd have a claim ticket for your bag. And sometimes when you were leaving the airport, they would check to make sure you're taking the right bag. Now, they don't care. They literally don't care anymore. They just want you out of there with your luggage. They're more concerned with things coming in. As far as going out, they don't care who takes it as long as it leaves. But they used to be concerned, are you taking the right suitcase? See, theft, they don't even care about theft anymore. There's bigger fish to fry. I'm sorry for people that don't fry fish. I didn't mean that. It's an expression. There's bigger pandas to scoop the brains out of. And you know, that's bad too. Stupid old expressions. What this do? I don't know. I'm not going to get graphic. That's not fun. No, don't be shocking. I would never shock you, not intentionally. The only way I would shock you, and this is a metaphor, is if I were scooting across the carpet and then I touched you gently. See, because I'm scooting across the carpet because I'm trying not to wake you. I'm touching you gently because of affection. and you feel a jolt. And you go, oh, you just hurt me. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to. I know that I hurt you because of causes. I know I should have known better than to gather static electricity from that carpet. I knew it was going to build up into me. And the minute it found a route, the minute it found some place to escape, the minute it had some sort of parameters to move on, the minute that water found a channel, it flowed into you. Electricity flows that way, too. And it flowed into you and it hurt you. And I didn't mean it to. Things will float through me. Confusion, anger, and they're going to come out sometimes, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurt you. I don't mean to shock you. But they just go through me, too. They go through me, too. Like bad fruit through a goose. They go, oh, there's another fruit. I've been thinking about fruit. I think I must be craving it. I think when that happens, if you're craving a type of food, it means your body is calling out for whiskey and steak. No, it doesn't mean that. I don't know what it means, a craving. Some people say that. So if you're craving, especially if you're craving something healthy, then they say, yeah, your body wants it. See, I'm craving sugar. No, that means your body doesn't want it. All right. It's good to know that my body is so contrarian like that, that sometimes I don't even know what it wants. If I was feeling discontented, sometimes when I'm feeling depressed, sometimes when I'm feeling empty, people will ask me, what do you need? What do you need? And I don't know. I don't know what I need. That's the problem. I feel an emptiness and I don't know what goes in it. I see a little space. I see a compartment and it's not regularly shaped. It's irregularly shaped, which means that something fits in there. A piece goes in there and I don't know what goes in there. All I see is the emptiness. All I see is that shape. I don't know what goes in there. I don't know what I need, my friend. I don't know what I need. And I don't know what you need. And so, Cat in the Hat, like, I try to bring everything. I try to bring a box that contains everything in it. And if it doesn't contain everything, unless it'll contain some sort of material that can be made into anything. Paper, papier-mâché, like. Right? I'm carrying around papier-mâché because you might say, I want an elephant. I can't have a real elephant. I'll make you a papier-mâché elephant and we'll pretend that should be close enough. I would love to give you what you need. I know that you don't know, so I won't know. And we'll just try a bunch of things on like we're trying on hats. We're trying on hats in a fancy store, you and I. Neither of us knows what we need. We know if it fits right. We know what feels nice. We're not sure what looks good, but we know that if we go through all these possibilities, we might find the perfect hat for us. I just like being in the hat store with you. My goal's not to get a hat. Let's quit kidding ourselves. We're together. And we're having fun, and we're joking around, and we're making fun of the hats. I love just the process of being there with you, of spending some time in the hat shop. We don't have to find anything. We don't have to have answers. I remember a lot of school for me when I was in school. I mean, I got an education. I learned things, yes. But I think I was learning things all the time. I mean, just how to behave. How to treat others. What happens when you do certain things. Just navigating the world was an education. Being young, foolish, and tender, and angry all at the same time. Trying to get through things like that. Finding kindred spirits. Finding other souls who understood or were gentle with you. Oh, how we benefit from that. Finding enemies, finding people who would stop you, finding being introduced to irrational hate and things. Enemies. Oh, they're real. They're real. Bless people's hearts. They may not know why they hate or torment, but they do it. It doesn't make it easy for the tormented. You can say, oh, well, that person is got psychological problems or they have their own. Oh, my goodness, that doesn't help the victim. As she lays there in pain, does it? Oh my gosh, explain it to me, Hardy. You've got to be kidding. How would I know any of these things? I'm just pointing out that they happen. And the reason I am is because we sometimes forget to point out that they happen.
We get so enamored with the solutions of things. We get so enamored with completeness, with people being happy, with things coming together. Oh, my gosh, that we forget that most things are in a constant state of falling apart, that most people are in a constant state of confusion, don't know what they want, don't have goals. They are just floating and scared, amused sometimes. I'm saying, hey, I'm going to paddle over here and be with you. If we're going to be floating in a big ocean, not knowing whether we're going to live or die, not knowing how we got here or where we're going, let's at least cling together. I have a feeling. I have a feeling that that's what it is. I have a feeling that that's what we need. I have a feeling that's what we've been craving, is one another. That's what we need, is one another. That's the emptiness that we sense. It's you. That's what it is. I had a feeling. Oh, I've had many feelings. I've had many feelings, and I tried to name them all. I tried to treat them like children. I tried to take pictures of my feelings, and I would put the pictures of every feeling in an individual box. I tried to do their histories. I went on one of them ancestor sites, and for each feeling, I did a genealogy to trace its origin. I found out that my feelings go back centuries, thousands of years, millions of years, to some of the first creatures that ever crawled out of the slime. What were they thinking? What were they doing? What was their motivation? Eat. Don't perish. Go. Eat. Be with others. Don't perish. Make another. Make a copy. Seek the light. I don't know what the rules are. But they kept going. Here we are. You and I. Still crawling around. You want to get takeout? You want to get takeout? Because I've been talking about big things for so long. Now I'm just thinking about crispy. I want something crispy. You want something crispy? Getting tired. I would take a nap too, but I'm in the middle of talking to you. Don't do that. Are you tired? Are you bored? No, I'm not. Sometimes I say, don't you just nap? Sometimes it just, because you know you don't really want one. So I'm going to force myself. I'm not even tired. I got things to do, but I'm gonna just lay down for a minute. No, you don't do that? That's kind of foolish, I guess. But look, you do turn on the radio. And I know that while you're listening to me, there's only so many things you can do, and a lot of them, most of them are crafts. Tinkering. Do you tinker? You fixing an old watch. So how do I get this? I got the back off. Okay. How do I get the stem out? Depends. A lot of times, there will be a little hole near the stem, and you'll see if you just push down. Sometimes it'll say push. You put something in there, very tiny, and then pull the stem as you do that. All right. And then this it'll come out. What if it's an older watch? All right. Then there's a little screw. And you just turn that just a little way, loosen, and that loosens a little bolt that holds the stem in. And you can click it out. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Now be careful when you take it out. Don't damage the hands. I won't. Oh, I know. You're probably doing needlepoint. And I should have said something about yarn, but I didn't. Tell us a yarn. It's the same word, isn't it? I wonder how that happened. I think it's people used to keep their stories in hand-knitted bags or something. There's got to be a connection, doesn't there? Doesn't there? I wish I was a detective. I wish I was a detective, and every work day I got to work and I'd open the door to my office and I'd walk in. And there'd be a lady there sitting in a chair, dressed as in a 40s costume, smoking a cigarette, but it isn't. It's a mannequin. I put it there. I just like it. It's part of the office. And I'd walk in. I'd sit down at my desk. I got an old-fashioned telephone. I got some papers on my desk there. And I sit down, and I say to myself, today I will do some detecting. And I look at my lady mannequin client, my fake client, and I say, what do you think? And she says nothing. She says nothing because she has secrets. She does not want to divulge certain information. How am I going to be a detective if I can't even figure out what my client's motivation is, if I can't even get the clues? Well, I'll tell you what. The first rule of detectiving is detect the client. What does the client want? What are they really looking for? What are they using me for? I know I'm being used. If they could do this themselves, they would. So I put my detective feet up and I say, look, lady, I am on to you. And then the real person walks in. I'm extremely embarrassed. They say, is this Hardy White Detective Agency? Yes. I straighten up in my chair. Can I help you?
Yes, I was looking for... Oh, you're with somebody. It startled me. No, it's a mannequin. All right, well... And there's silence, awkward silence for a long time. I go, please sit down in the chair that the mannequin is not in. Client sits down. Tell me about your case. I had a mannequin stolen, very similar to the one next to me. All right, when did this happen? Recently. All right, recently. Do you know anybody would like to take your mannequin? Well, you'd mentioned that you wanted it for your office. Look, just cut to the chase. If you're accusing me of stealing your mannequin, client, just tell me. Don't come in here and run all around the bush, go all around beating around the bush, running around the mulberry bush like the monkey chasing the weasel, making it pop. Right? I know it's really about Parliament. Isn't it? People come in here and say, ring around the rosy, pocket full of posy, ashes, ashes all fall down. About the plague. You're talking about the plague. Listen, I'll just leave. No, I'm sorry. Take the mannequin. I'm sorry. I stole your mannequin. Case solved. That'd be $200, please. I have to pay you for stealing from me. Great point. No, go ahead and take it. The show is like that too, friends. If you come in here, you're just going to find something I stole from you. And you're going to take it back. What is that thing? It's love. It's support. You write me. You tell me, oh, Hardy, thank you for keeping me company. Thank you for uplifting me. You don't think that I take that and stick that in my office. Like it was you sitting there telling me that, encouraging me. You can do it. Here's a case for you. Help me solve this. Help me, Hardy. And it makes me feel, in your absence, that I am still needed. That someone needs my help. Oh, that's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. Sometimes when I get all into my own head and everything, I forget about others. I think all my own desires are pain. That's the most important thing. And really, it is. Because if I'm in pain, I can't help you, really. So it is in the way the most important thing. I'm not going to lie to you. You know? And I forget how much joy I get from others sometimes. I get sucked into my own head. I forget it. I forget how fleeting things are. Because I have to forget because it's scary. I can't remember every day, oh, where all this is going to end. I'd go mad. I'd be crying every second. I have to forget it. We have to forget to go on. And then we're constantly reminded. We are in a state of oscillating forgetfulness. Constantly, just to survive, we must forget who we are, how we got here. We got to forget everything. And then we go on quests looking for it, even though we know the answers. We just can't see them because some of them would destroy us. So we spend our time in blissful ignorance that we need. But then we get sucked in and we forget where we are, who we are. Does it matter? I don't know. You've confused me now, Hardy. I thought you're onto something. Why do you always do that? Take something and then destroy it. You give me something. You say, here's the answer. And then you say, can I see it back for a minute? And you scribble all over it and give it back. Yeah, because I'm dubious of anything that purports to have answers. I'm suspicious of answers. At least the ones that are coming from me. I do trust others. But I know that I don't know. I know how little I know. And sometimes I think maybe there's not very much to know. And so I go out to help in this state of ignorance. And it feels lonely. But then I have at least short-term goals, little things I can do. I can't get a handle on the big picture, friend, but I can on little things. Little things. Somebody needs something. An old lady needs something. Old lady friend calls me. She says, could you come and hang this picture? Seems little, doesn't it? I'll sit around. I'll say, I wish I was somebody grand. I wish I had more money. I wish I had more status and everything. Come hang my picture for me, Hardy. Then I realize that's the most important task in the world right now. That lady needs help. And I can help her. And she called me. And as small as that purpose seems, it feels like purpose. And I submit to you, officially, on a piece of paper, written down, that the size of purpose doesn't matter. It doesn't. The feeling is about the same. And there's those who do grand things who are so lost because they feel it's purposelessness.
I hope you feel those things. I feel happy right now. No, not really. Oh, I don't know. At least I can distract you. Let me not. I'm not going to force the point. I don't want to. You don't have to be happy. But I'm certainly going to stand up here and try to distract you like I'm touring a hospital. That's why people do it. That's why clowns go to hospitals. They know they're not going to heal anybody with their nose. They can't wipe their nose on some kind of wound and heal it up. They're not there for that. They're there to distract and show love and get some laughs. They're there to help. They're there to ease, not to solve. I'm there to ease, not to cure. I'm a salve, not a medicine. So just rub me on your feet like a foot lotion. I want to be your foot lotion. I know that sounds awful. But let me tell you something. Every week, I go on and I speak to the -3. That's all I'm going to say. And that's not a negative thing. That's wonderful potential. That's what I call it. I speak to the Butchie, the Lou, and the Hardy of the future and of the past. I speak of a world divided up. I speak of forces and I give them names. I give them names they never had before. And so I'm going to give you more in the weeks to come. And I'm going to thank you so much for the blessing of your companionship and your friendship. And I hope that I have in some way distracted or entertained you today.
Yes, I think you have.
All right.
A little bit.
All right. That's not my nephew. That was me doing an impression of my nephew.
It's very close.
I know it is.
But it's not exact. You don't capture everything in my voice.
I know. I try. Why aren't you asleep?
Because you're talking loudly.
All right.
And at one point you were yelling psychotically.
Okay.
And it's hard to sleep. And when I do go to sleep, I have nightmares.
Well, I don't want that.
Maybe you could. Well, I'll tell you what. Leave the tiger beat and we'll be cool.
All right. It's really, really funny.
I know.
1976. That seems like just yesterday.
No, it doesn't.
I know. You weren't around. But I was. And it doesn't really seem like yesterday. It seems like, well, a lot of yesterdays when I was much younger. And I didn't read. It's funny because I didn't read Tiger Beat at the time. But I a friend lent me this copy. I don't know whether to say the friend's name, because word might get back to him, and I guess I'd be willing to send it back, but so it's Merlin's. I'm not going to say his last name, but when we were living in Tallahassee together, Merlin lives out west now. So I don't know if you listen to the show, Merlin. I don't listen to yours. I love you, though, and have wonderful memories, but I have your magazine, and I don't know whether I need it. I don't know whether you need it, and I don't know how I got it. But I still have it, and bless you. Maybe I was, I don't know, early internet content. Maybe I was putting photos on my 70s website or something. I don't know. But bless your heart, my friend. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. Thank you so much, my friends, for joining me every week. I tell you what, it's an immense blessing to me. And I will see you again next week.